This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Boo-hoo! An OnlyFans model sobs and then brings a pig carcass knife-throwing video to her murder trial hearing in court. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Did a beautiful OnlyFans model turn killer, accused of stabbing her boyfriend to death in their shared luxury high-rise condo?
Why is everything about Clinny? Whenever you hear about this case, you never hear about the dead person, the murder victim, according to the state, stabbed dead. All I see, wherever this case is covered, are shots of her, usually scantily clothed. Of course, she's an OnlyFans model. But I'm talking about murder. You know what? Let's get a little reality check. Listen.
Ma'am, listen to me. You need to stop screaming on the line and give me the address.
3101.
You're
gonna die. I can't feel my arm.
3101.
I can't feel my arm.
One ma'am. My girlfriend is dying of a stab. Ma'am, what is the address?
What's the address, baby? 3131. 3131 Northeast 7th Ave. Please, God, please. Come see my husband. I'm gonna
get this. Do you hear the victim, Christian, saying, I can't feel my arm? I'm going to die. I can't feel my arm. I can't feel my arm. Those are some of the last words he ever utters. And now his mother and father, his family, has to hear that 911 call over and over again. And let me advise you, this is not the first time the OnlyFans model has attacked her live-in boyfriend, a cryptocurrency trader. With me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know right now. And yes, I know that in domestic homicides, very rarely is the woman the aggressor. Well, this turns that on its ear. Straight out to special guest joining us today, Robert Crispin, private investigator with Crispin Special Investigations, specifically former federal task force officer for the U.S. Department of Justice, DEA, in Miami, this jurisdiction. Robert, thank you for being with us. You are outside the scene of the murder. Tell me about that building. I mean, I was told it's a luxury high-rise that charges thousands of dollars a month, that has never had, let's just say, a domestic violence case, much less a domestic murder in it?
Yeah, I mean, it's known as the One Paricio building. It's 53 stories tall. It's got 257 units on it. It's very secure. It has sprawling views of all of Miami. It's the in place to be on the who's who. If you want to be seen and you want to come to a luxury place, this is it. It's about 12 grand. To run a place here, you go a little bit higher, it's a little bit more money, but you're not getting in this place. If you're going to get hurt, you're going to get killed, it's somebody you know. They've got security at the front. They've got a front bellman. You get into the elevator, you have to have a code, a key fob. It's just not happening. But this is the in place here.
Guys, it may be the in place where who's who lives at 12 grand a month, but this is what went down in the luxury high-rise. You think the neighbors knew what was going on all along? What did they hear? What did they know? And they did nothing, and now Christian is dead? Listen.
I'll help him up. Get up.
Oh, no. No. I can't let this, okay?
It's my goal.
Wait, it wasn't. Guys, guys.
Relax.
Why?
Stop.
No, guys.
Relax.
Guys, please.
Relax.
I'm
sit down.
Okay.
Sit down.
Here, just let me.
Sit down.
Okay. Baby, come here. Just sit down. Sit down. Please, just make sure he's okay.
What's so extremely upsetting to me is this could have been avoided. You've got this OnlyFans model with up to 2 million followers, and then you have her boyfriend, cryptocurrency trader, Christian. Now he's dead. There's no way this was not foreseeable. As a matter of fact, I want you to look and listen to, as painful as it is, and a jury's going to see this too, I guarantee you, this occurred before the murder, all right? And you got to ask yourself, how many times does the victim get beaten before they set up a camera? Now watch this.
You know, like I was sober for two weeks. And now why am I not sober? Because of you. Like, get the fuck, you're hindering my process.
You sit down.
Let go of me. Let go of me.
Come on.
Let go of me.
Okay.
Come on, boy. Let go of me. Like, I can't even, like, I'll start to hit me. Like, get the off me.
You don't want to hit me?
Christian, he saw me. I know he's looking. I'm fed up with you. Treat me.
Wait,
you, yes, I don't
ask
you.
You let Malala say something, some line that affected you.
I didn't let her say anything.
I said,
you did it.
Hey, let's go to Malala right now. Let's pull up.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, there's so much more of that. Never once do we see him lay a hand on her. And this is what I don't get. And let me go back to you. Robert Crispin joining us in front of this luxury high-rise where the murder went down. Robert Crispin, there is no way these Tony neighbors did not know what was going on. They had to hear something in the weeks, the months preceding the murder. But they did nothing. I mean, it's see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. And now this young man, 27, you know, Crispin, my children have just turned 17. When they get out of college or grad school, God willing, whatever they do, and they find a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and then all of a sudden I get the call, they're dead. And everybody knew what was happening and nobody did anything. I don't get it.
So I will tell you, Nancy, that there were other complaints of them fighting from two floors above the 22nd floor to two floors below the 22nd floor, which were reported prior to all of this happening. And one resident was even the recipient of a Tiger Panther frame picture that was tossed out of the window off the balcony out of their apartment and landed a couple floors down on another resident's balcony. He ended up being the recipient of that. So security
Gee,
did call.
I wonder where that came from. Look at the video right now. Gee, a tiger print frame. I wonder who that belonged to. Okay, how did a tiger print frame, Crispin, land on somebody's balcony?
Well, I could only assume that it was thrown out the window and the wind grabbed it and brought it to somebody else's balcony down below. So I'm told by residents that it came from their apartment.
So let me understand, Crispin, you're saying that neighbors two floors up and two floors down could hear her beating on him and the wild arguments?
Absolutely. And it was even reported to security. As a matter of fact, security also called law enforcement on other occasions about the domestics.
And what became of that, Robert Crispin?
So if you watch the body cam footage from the Miami Police Department, she meets them in the lobby and all she wants to do is take a restraining order against him. She wants him out, but she leaves it right there. And they said that he went upstairs.
No. That is not exactly what happened, Crispin. Yes, at an occasion, a prior occasion, she, Clinny, the OnlyFans model, did meet police in the lobby. You're correct. She did speak to them about a TRO, temporary restraining order. But isn't it true? She said, as she was speaking to them, yeah, I want to get one before he does. She wanted to get the TRO first. It was all a ploy. It was her maneuvering and playing everybody.
She did. She even asked law enforcement, is he on his way down there? And the road guys said, we don't even know what he looks like. So how do we even know if he's on his way down there? So she wanted to beat him to the courthouse to get that restraining order.
Robert Crispin, as a matter of fact, I've got the video of what you're talking about. Now, listen, this is from a prior event before the murder where she was beating on him again and police came. Watch this.
Okay, the parties are here. I want a restraining order against Christian Abumzelli.
Well, I don't issue those.
I'm serious. Can I do that?
Where
can
I go to court?
How can I make myself first? Because I know him and he would do it. How can I make myself first?
You got to get there first.
75 Northwest first. 75 Northwest.
Isn't he already on the way?
We have no idea. We don't even know how it looks like.
We don't even know who he is. I don't
do we know that?
Does she ever wear a shirt? Just curious. That said, straight out to Alexis Tereshchuk joining me, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter. Alexis, so did you see the video I just played where she is perfectly done? She has not been in any sort of a physical altercation. Let me rephrase that. Correction. She has not been attacked. Let's see that video control room, if you don't mind, real quick. I don't need to hear the sound again. Look at her. Every extension is perfectly on her head. She's wearing a necklace. Her nails are perfect. She's not bleeding. No scratches. No bruises. Her top is on. Miracle. Everything's fine. She's even wearing makeup with false eyelashes and mascara. And she's asking for a TRO and quizzing the cops, who apparently are fans, about how she can, quote, make myself first and take a TRO out on him before he can do it on her. He's the victim, and she's trying to outsmart the cops and the system, Alexis.
And this is a pattern with her. They were constantly involved in problems with the police. Every place that they lived, the police were called. They were fighting, and she appeared drunk at all times, is what neighbors would say. They said, we would see her in the middle of the day walking her dogs drunk. They said she was incoherent. They couldn't understand what she was saying. They were like, it's the middle of the day. What's going on? Why are you like this? Every time they saw her, she was drunk. And they said they would see him with her. And he would, if somebody, she was screaming, yelling, and they would approach and say, hey, what's going on? And he was never reacting. He was never hitting her. He would just say, I'm so sorry. I'm just trying to get her inside the house. I'm so sorry. It was never any
time. Well, that's interesting, Alexis Tereshchuk, because that's exactly what we're seeing in this prior body cam video. The one, if I could get the control room to show the video. Let's hear some more of it. This preceded the murder. And I guarantee you, the jury is going to see it. It will be what is called a similar transaction. Why are they allowed Greg Morse, joining me, high-profile lawyer, partner at King Morse in the Florida jurisdiction? A similar transaction is used. It is not the case in chief. It is a prior incident, typically brought on by the state, to show motive, MO, modus operandi, method of operation, course of conduct, frame of mind, and many other points to bringing a similar transaction. A judge hears a motion in limine, which is a motion prior to it coming into evidence, so the jury won't be tainted if it's disallowed, and determines is it similar enough and within the time period that is relevant. And what does it prove? This prior video is worth a million words, Morse. It's coming in.
And it is. In Florida, it's called Williams Rule. It's federal rule of evidence 404B. Basically, the information of modus operandi to show intent, lack of mistake, it just can't be used to show bad character, meaning because you got into a fight before, you did it again the second time. But I think these videos actually help the defense of Clenny from
Heaven. Well, how does the video help the defense?
Well, because what you see is, one, it looks like the video you just showed was set up, meaning a camera was placed about it. And what I noticed from all the videos, especially the elevator video, is Christian differently than he was in the elevator. He hit her in the elevator video. He laughed at her, the classic signs of an abuser. So we see a divergence in how Christian acts when he sets up a camera.
Whoa. I'm watching the elevator video right now. Yeah. He's not hitting her. She's hitting him.
What? She is.
What?
I agree
with you. You're amazing, Greg Morse. If the sky is blue, you'll tell me it's red and you think I'm going to believe it? Let's just watch what Greg Morse is talking about. I want to drink it all in, Morse. You, the veteran defense attorney, have said he hit her in the elevator. That's not what happened. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it. He's fighting
right
her off.
Watch him smile at the end and stick his face out.
Let's start it at the beginning, control room. Please start it over. Yeah.
He's not acting like a victim.
Take a look.
Police talk about it. People acting like a victim. He is not.
Oh, okay, so he's not acting the way you want him to act.
Okay, look at their size.
I don't see him beating her.
Look, watch.
Yes, I don't care. Right. She's attacking him.
Okay, his smile on his face. Watch his smile. Watch
Morse.
The smile. He doesn't act that way in the video in the house that he can drive.
I don't care if he's smiling.
Agreed.
He obviously doesn't feel like he's about to be stabbed dead.
But also remember, battered spouse syndrome, or battered, if she's claiming self-defense and she was for a long time, you know, 2 years in the relationship, that has an effect. And Christian is acting like someone who's not scared of her, not afraid of her. He's smiling at her. And that tells me there may be some information, like the police affidavit says, for the arrest warrant. It says he was also abusive. It says that it was not a one-sided situation, the domestic abuse. So my point is, there is evidence that has been presented in what we've seen so far by the police that at least supports that he is not, this is all one-sided. That's all. He doesn't leave the house.
You know
he texts her. My
you
head
know
hurts.
What? The only evidence that he, the dead victim, was abusive is from her. What she said.
That's not true. The affidavit from the police, the affidavit that was filled out by a first-time homicide detective, according to the affidavit, says that it was a toxic relationship and they were. It was not only one-sided. Although, yes, the arrest affidavit does lean towards Clenny being the aggressor. Obviously, she was arrested for second-degree murder. But, you know, you were a prosecutor. Defense lawyers look for anything to be able to tell this
story.
Will
you put him up, please?
That's
you know
important.
What, Greg? I wanted to hear you out, to hear what you could possibly say to make him the aggressor. And I said everything in that affidavit is based on what she said, her allegations. I waited for you to give me one shred, one scrap, one scintilla of evidence that he had been the aggressor other than her whining. And you gave me nothing. It's a toxic relationship. That doesn't mean she's the aggressor. None of what you just said says she's the aggressor. And you know what?
Well,
let's see that video one more time. The video in the elevator that Greg Moore so kindly brought up for me. Let's just watch it. Let's just watch it. Where is he starting a fight? Nowhere.
I didn't say he was starting a fight.
What am I supposed to do? Believe you or my lying eyes, Morse?
An OnlyFans model is heard screaming in a frantic 911 call while her boyfriend lies dying from a stab wound. When police arrive, the social media star is covered in blood, and so is the condo they share.
I remember investigating and prosecuting murder cases and so many other types of felonies, and I would pore over a single mugshot. What, if anything, could I learn from that one photo? And you know what I just learned? She doesn't have a scratch on her, yet she's claiming self-defense. What happened in that luxury condo? Listen to this 911 call.
Ma'am, is this a house apartment or a business?
1-2-7-4-5-3-5-8-2.
Is this a house apartment or a business?
Baby, I'm so sorry. Baby.
Ma'am, can you hear me?
If he has a stab wound to his shoulder, can you sit down?
What do you mean he has a stab wound on his shoulder, ma'am?
Yes, he's bleeding from his shoulder.
Rescue, this is TV Physician Juliet. You call it, ma'am, hold on one moment. You call it VCS 3131 Northeast 7th Avenue, 3136 Northeast 7th Avenue. The phone number is verified. The caller advised that her boyfriend has a stab wound.
Why is it so hard to believe that she, the OnlyFans model, is the aggressor, the killer? Now, you saw the mugshot I showed you earlier where she doesn't have a scratch on her. That is a stark contrast to what cops found at the scene. Take a look at body cam video that we have obtained from the scene. Now, important, look at her. They finally got a shirt on her. She's covered in blood. Covered in blood. You can't tell. Is she a victim? Is she the killer? Keep looking. Good gravy, their place is a pigsty. How do you live like that? Anyway, look at her. There she is without a shirt on. Where you'll have to pay at OnlyFans to see that. There she is. They've got a shirt on her. Her breasts are exposed. She's obviously making no move to fix that. Not judging. Don't care. I only care about the murder. But look, if you look at her there, you might think she's the victim. But then, once they get the blood off her, they realize, all of that is his blood, not her blood. Let's see. Take a closer look. Look at her carefully. No bruises, no cuts. Keep it going, please, control room. She even still has her false eyelashes intact. Okay.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Joining me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we are learning, I want to go straight out to Dr. Michelle Dupree, renowned forensic pathologist, medical examiner, also former detective with Lexington County Sheriff's, and author of multiple books, the most recent, Money, Mischief, and Murder, The Murdoch Dynasty, the rest of the story. She lived through the Alex Murdoch investigation and trial, but for my purposes today, she's the author of the Homicide Investigation Field Guide. Dr. Dupree, I want to show you a video. Brace yourself. You're used to dealing with human bodies. This involves a pig carcass. Repeat, a pig carcass that the defense brought into court. Could I see the video, please? What they did, right, they've got an expert knife thrower throwing knives at a pig carcass. Why? Because in the 911 call, in police interrogation, she, Clinny, says she threw the knife at about 10 feet. Okay? They actually showed the pig carcass knife throwing demo in court. I picked a particular segment of the 911 call to play for you, Dr. Dupree, where you hear Clinny insisting the victim, Christian, was stabbed in the shoulder. Could he, Christian, have received a mortal stab by Clinny throwing the knife at 10 feet? Even the expert didn't hit the carcass every time. Explain.
Well, Nancy, pig carcass, first of all, because it is very much like the human body, and so that's why we choose that animal. It's very unlikely that she would have that type of aim that would cause a lethal injury from that distance and for the knife to stay in. I don't know what kind of knife it was, but a kitchen knife or something of that nature, it's probably not going to work. And the expert here is actually demonstrating that. I think that's very, very unlikely. The knife apparently did hit a major artery, which is why it caused so much damage. Yeah, this is like a steak knife. That's very unlikely, in my opinion, that it happened the way she said it did.
Dr. Dupree, what about the depth? The knife went deep into Christian's body. Hey, listen to this. I want you to hear what she told police during interrogation.
I'm on the phone with my mom, and he's coming at me like he's going to grab either the phone or like the knife or something. And so I was just like, I was like, don't come any closer. It's coming at me, and I threw it. And I meant for it to go.
How far away was it?
Well, I was by my fridge, and he was like by the edge of one of the chairs of the sofa.
Okay. Like, comparing to what
I'm trying to think in my head.
No, that did not happen. She volunteered that to police, Dr. Dupree, that she threw it at about 10 feet.
Nancy, highly unlikely. And I'd be very, very interested to know if there was some bruising around that knife entrance wound, because that would also indicate that she probably did that with her hand with force. Again, I haven't seen the autopsy, so I don't know. But this is very unlikely that she threw this at a distance of that.
It was distance. 3 inches deep, Dr. Dupree. Now, I'm certainly no medical examiner. I don't have a medical degree like you do. But it'll be a cold day in HELL that she, Clinny, can throw a knife at 10 feet and affect a wound that goes 3 inches into his body with likely bruising around the entrance wound and severs an artery. What is that, the brachial artery in the arm?
Probably the brachial artery, yes.
How can you do that? Throw a knife at 10 feet and sever an artery 3 inches into the arm.
Again, Nancy, that's very unlikely. That's a steak knife from the kitchen. I don't think it's possible. The expert couldn't even do it. I think that story is lousy.
If I get up and look at getting in trouble.
No.
Okay, then you said I'm not going to use
it. No, no, you can't get up. You stay right there.
Are you married?
You stay right there.
Are you married?
You stay right there.
I'm covered in his blood because I'm
okay,
trying to save
I understand
him.
That. I understand that.
And if I don't, y'all can't, okay. Then what will I do with
all right.
I need him. He's like my other half.
Wait a minute. That was OnlyFans model, Courtney Clinney. This is just after she stabs her live-in boyfriend of 2 years dead, a cryptocurrency trader. And she repeatedly asks the cop, are you married? Are you married? Are you married? I want to look at something else that I find very interesting. Let's see the video of her in the lobby a few days prior to the murder. She's claiming self-defense, by the way. And she looks pretty bloody until she gets cleaned off. Hey, Crispin. Robert Crispin joining me outside that luxury high-rise. What are these cops, fans? Look at them. They're actually telling her how to get to the courthouse first so she can file a TRO before he does.
Yeah, listen, her scantily, I mean, listen, the way she's dressed, any man's going to look at him, even a cop, but that's completely unprofessional for law enforcement to start giving her any more benefit than anybody else, including a victim. I think where she's going with the, are you married, are you married, is she's trying to set the stage to let the cops not think that she intentionally killed this guy, that, hey, this was an accident. Are you married? He's my life partner. I can't live. If you listen more into the body cams, I can't live without him. He's my world. He's my partner. I think she's trying to lay everything out.
Hold on. I'm bringing in a shrink. Joining me now, renowned psychologist, TV radio trauma expert, consultant, Karen Stark, joining us from Manhattan at KarenStark.com. Watch the video, Karen Stark. I've saved the best for last. That's you, Karen. I wanted you to hear everything before you rendered an opinion. Look, you saw this. You saw the elevator video that defense attorney Greg Moore so kindly brought to my attention. You've seen her covered in his blood, and then when they hose her off, she doesn't have a scratch on her. All that blood is his. When you look at the dynamic, we're calling it the leopard video because of her skin-tight leopard leggings. Not judging. I don't care. I only care about the COD. What is your opinion? What's happening, Karen Stark?
Nancy, this is so typical of a female abuser, a violent one, where you see her over and over again attacking him. I also want to add that she did attack him in the past. She knifed him in his leg, and they make reference to that. She's constantly telling herself not to be that way, to try and calm down. She writes in her diary, but she can't control herself. She's erratic, she's violent, and it doesn't take a lot to get her to be this impulsive where she can't stop herself. So when you look at how it escalates, you can clearly see that this is going to lead to something that's fatal to me anyway, because female abusers also tend to use a weapon. They don't have that physical strength. And here you go with her using a weapon, possibly even throwing a frame at him, which goes off of the balcony, clearly cutting him in the past.
You know, I'm very curious about something you just said about a prior knife attack where the OnlyFans model, AKA stripper, not judging, don't care. I only care if it's got crime scene tape around it. Okay, I care about that. Take that down. Months before the stabbing death, she, Courtney Clinney, apparently stabbed her live-in, Christian, in the leg. Joining me is CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter Dave Mack. Is this true?
Yes, Nancy, it's absolutely true that they had a relationship that was branded with violence. And even though people try to make it seem as though Christian Obamseli was also handing it out, every time we hear and see anything in this case, it's Courtney Clinney as the aggressor. From her earliest days on planet Earth, she was the aggressor. When they first met, she was the aggressor, all the way up to the point where she claims to have thrown a knife 10 feet. But stabbing him prior to that? Yeah. Hitting him with the picture frame? Yeah. Anything that was close to her, she'd throw at him or hit him.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
You know, it's heartbreaking. I've looked at some of the boyfriend's texts, and one says, "Is love going to kill me?" And so many of these cases, Karen Stark, I've had, and it's almost all of mine have been where the woman dies as after a beating by the husband, a shooting, a stabbing. And in those cases, Karen, very often they say that the victim says things like, "If anything happens to me, he did it." Or, "If you can't find me, ask my husband." Or, "I've got an emergency key in case you can't find me, and it's under the flower pot." It's an eerie premonition, Karen Stark. And here you've got the boyfriend stating, "Is love going to kill me?"
And Nancy, speaking to what you said about usually being the female who's the victim, that's why it's so hard for people to accept that this female is an abuser, which she is. But look, she's going along and claiming each time that she's defending herself, which doesn't, we don't see that in any of it. In addition, she drinks, she clearly is in some kind of altered state, and she went and threatened a young man who was 18 years old after she killed this boy who lived with her, this fabulous man who I think was just stuck in this relationship and didn't know how to get out. But the public has take sympathy on her because they think, oh, she's a woman, she's weak. She's not weak, she's very strong, we see it.
We have to inform you that Christian did not make it. Unfortunately, the doctors did what they could.
Christian is dead.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is not real, right?
This is not a who stabbed Christian case. This is, you know, we know what happened. Well, we know part of what happened. So.
I feel so much better once they just say, he's stable.
Yeah.
Because I've been asking. I've been asking.
And that's what we're waiting for.
Okay. I mean, I feel like, at the end, I mean, if he's not, that's a lot worse for me. But if he's not, that's just a lot worse for everybody. Yeah.
My stars, this woman. Did you hear what she said? If he dies, that's a lot worse for me. It's a lot worse for him. Okay, now, wait a minute. I want you to hear more of what she says when she finds out she stabbed her lover dead. Listen.
I cannot be left alone in like a room by myself after this. No, that's not true. That's not real, right?
It is real.
Christian is dead.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
I know, I just can't believe this.
It's all about her. I can't be left alone. Don't leave me alone. Don't do this to me. He's dead, woman. Joining me, Alexis Tereshchuk and Dave Mack, both reporting on the case. Alexis Tereshchuk, the defendant, the OnlyFans model, wrote notes to herself about her abusive behavior. What do they say?
In one note, she writes, "He hates me for hitting him. He thinks my alcohol abuse is pathetic, and I don't have as many friends as he does." And then in another note, she says, "Stop putting your hands on him out of anger. It releases tension, but has long-lasting effects on his self-esteem, looking in the mirror, and is not acceptable in any relationship in general." She also wrote, "But now I'm just effing abusive. Why is that? I'm turning into an ugly person, and so is he. Maybe it's because of me, or maybe I'm finally seeing his true colors. He always said he had anger issues."
You know what?
That really matters.
all of this is about me, as she's talking about her physically abusing him that ends in murder. And now to Dave Mack, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter, also joining us along with Alexis Tereshchuk. David Mack, this woman is so entitled that she can get away with all of this and then con everybody, including police and a judge. But what about her parents? How does she suck them into her vortex of carnage? What does she con them into doing, Dave Mack?
Well, the police did not grab Christian El Bonselli's laptop after he was killed. And knowing it was left behind and knowing that there was private information on there, including information on their iCloud of messages between Courtney, her parents, and her attorney, all of this is swirling around. They wanted to access Obamselli's laptop so they could take out or delete whatever they didn't want on there. They knew police wanted that. They knew police needed it for evidence. And the family was all involved in getting access to it. And they did. They actually were able to crack his password and access that laptop. That's why they were charged. They got in and messed with that computer when they knew it was evidence and knew they were not entitled to do it, knowing it was not their property. It was the victim's property.
Oh, man, to drag your parents into your murder case, getting them to go and get the victim's hard drive. Now, Greg Morse, lucky for the parents, the hacking case, I believe, has been dropped. Why? Because they found a lot of attorney-client communications. So I think the whole thing was essentially thrown out rather than violate the attorney-client privilege. Is that your understanding?
That is. So the prosecution decided to drop the charges because the court did find and excluded a lot of the statements that included her attorney. I believe it was Clenny's attorney when she was speaking with the parents. So the state attorney decided to drop that charge, and it really wasn't necessary anyway. That's the example of probably the state doing too much that could cause harm.
Hey, look at her knuckles, Morse. Did you see her knuckles where she's been beating him like a street fighter?
I'll help him up. Get up.
Relax.
Why?
Stop.
No, guys.
Relax. Relax. Relax.
Right. Oh. Guys, please.
Relax.
I'm
sit down.
Okay.
Sit down.
Just let me.
Sit down.
Okay. Baby, come here. Just sit down. Sit down.
It took how many police, two or three officers, to control her and get her to sit down? Okay. Control room, I would like to see the crime scene photos. And as you play them, I'm going to read to you a text from the victim, Christian, to the murder defendant, Clenny. Now listen to this. This is what he writes. The crazy thing about all of this is that yesterday when you stabbed me in the leg and you saw how bad it was hurting me and I couldn't walk, I couldn't do anything, and you were telling me, I wish I could take your pain away and I wish it was me and not you. It reveals how tormented he is over their relationship. He goes on to state, I sacrifice my pride and ego, telling myself how I don't need to win. Just let her have her way. And after he got stitches, she beat him on the stitches. And he says, I've let go of my pride, my ego. I sacrificed. And now he's dead. Morse.
And you look at that as complete evidence against Clenny, but what I see is someone who is not acting like someone who is fearful, someone who he could have easily left. There is a lot of information. Although he is dead, he was stabbed, she stabbed him in the leg. Again, you're having someone, a volatile relationship, he's way bigger.
You know what's amazing to me, Morse?
That leg stab could have been a woman.
You know, to Robert Crispin joining us outside that luxury high rise as it's described. Hey, you can have it. Crispin, if these roles were reversed, you believe Morse or anybody else would say, hey, she didn't look scared. She never acted scared in front of other people. She could have left. If the victim were a woman in this case, nobody would be saying that, would they?
Not at all. Not at all. It'd be the big man killed the little woman. A big bad monster.
In the last days, the defense brings a pig carcass knife throwing demo into court, trying to convince a judge. It couldn't have happened that way. Well, it did. We wait as justice unfolds, and let me advise everyone, Clinny and her parents, whose charges have been dropped, are innocent tonight until they are proven guilty in a court of law. But if I were a betting person, I would bet she will be convicted. How can you turn away from all of this? The only person I know that can do that is high-profile lawyer Greg Morse. We remember now an American hero, Sergeant Noel Guzman, Ponce Municipal Police, Puerto Rico, just 23, shot dead in the line of duty, survived by his wife, who is pregnant, and a 5-year-old child. American hero, Sergeant Noel Guzman. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.